this summer, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, Knuckle Track. Bart Cop Radio.
Let's talk about something that I don't have any idea about. When I was in college, seems like I got a C in my first accounting class and I got a D in my second accounting class, but I passed. Headline, Intel shareholders vote to expense options. A majority of Intel shareholders voted Wednesday to count stock options as expenses. The vote, which took place in the annual shareholder meeting, we didn't need to know that, is non-binding. Well, what the hell? All right, let's keep going. Intel has been a vocal critic of expense options, an accounting change that could make companies that grant options look less profitable. Shareholders at fellow tech companies Hewlett-Packard, IBM, and Apple have also voted to expense options. Now, let's talk about what that might mean. Let's say you're in business. It's your first day in business, and you have no inventory. Just for the example, let's say, you know, Dad owns the property. So, okay, you're in business. You just took over someone else's office. You don't have any expenses. You're break even. You're worth nothing, but you're not in the hole. Okay, let's say you're in the widget business. That's what they used to tell us back in college. Okay, you order $500,000 worth of widgets, and they want you to pay them, say, in 90 days. Okay, when they dump those widgets off on your property, yes, you have $500,000 worth of inventory, but you are not worth $500,000. The expense, you know, everything's got a balance. You got $500,000 worth of inventory, but on the other half of the ledger, you got $500,000 worth of debt. Granted, it's not due yet, but it's still there. That's what this stuff is with these expense options. They hire a guy, and they say, tell you what, we'll give you $10 million a year, or we'll give you $1 million a year with 1 million shares of stock that you have the option to buy any time for $2 a share. So they're in business a couple of years. And let's say, you know, okay, that's the president. Now you got the vice president, you got the CEO, you got the CDO, you got the CFO, you got all these FOs. And the company's going along fine. It's making money. It's building up profit, looking real good. And on paper, it's worth a whole lot of money. But I don't know how this relates to the Enron scam because, like I said, I don't know anything about accounting. The money potential payout for these big shots in the company, that is an expense. It's not on your books yet, just like that $500,000 worth of widgets is not on your books yet, but it is still there. You have to count that. I think legally it's okay not to count that, but that's suicide. That's how a company gets in trouble. If those board of directors, I don't care if they do it one at a time or if they all cash in the same day, but let's say a company is worth $20 million, and one day the top five guys in the company all want to cash in their options. Well, now they're buying stock that's valued at, say, $10, and they're buying it for $2. Well, that's a big loss for somebody, and it's coming out of the company's pocket. So a company can be profitable on Tuesday, very profitable on Tuesday, but Wednesday they're in the red because they decided to cash in these options. So you've got to count that as an expense. This is just another way for them to screw the little guy. That's why the CEOs of these companies make $40 million a year, or sometimes $150 million a year, but they're still paying minimum wage to the little guy, or maybe $60,000 to the mid-level managers, and it's just a big shell game. Someone needs to do something about this. Bush promised he was going to clean all this up, but of course he's a friend to business, so that was just yakety-yakety. That was just a hand job for people to listen to. That was just a sound bite for the networks to put on their nightly news. Oh, there's Bush. He's cleaning it all up. He's a cowboy. He's coming in. He's going to sweep the rascals out with his big broom. That's all crap. He gave him a wink and said, it's okay, boys. You just keep on because I know what it's like to be trying to make it in business because I'm a failed businessman myself. But someone's got to do something about this. When you invest in the stock market, that's a gamble. Funny how that's legal, but if you try to organize a card game or you bet on the horses, oh, now the FBI is coming to get you because you're a bad guy. You're doing bad things, but they don't mind you putting your life savings or just $10,000 in some company, and then turns out the CEO's cash in all at the same time, wipe that company clean, and then leave you standing there with an IOU for $10,000 in your hand that ain't never coming back your way. Someone needs to clean this up. I don't know why somebody hadn't done it sooner. Maybe we should blame Clinton. I don't know. I don't know if this was there when Clinton got in office and he just didn't fix it, or if Bush got in and made it worse. But somehow, you've got to count. It's a debt. If I got a $500,000 worth of widget debt there, I can't file a report with the FCC that I'm worth $500,000. That's a crime. That's fraud. You can't do that. So why are these big guys allowed to do that? And I just half read the story before I read it to you, but now it says the vote is non-binding. Well, gee, how in the hell did this headline get in the USA Today if it's non-binding? That's craziness. Someone needs to fix that. This whole country could crumble. This whole country could go through 1929 all over again if just a few people screw up and don't think they won't. Here's a short lie for you. Wednesday the 26th, front page of the money section, USA Today, big headline, markets perk up as oil prices take a dip. Well, you know, everything's relative. If you look at a chart of where the Dow has been the last, oh, say, 6 months, it's gone down, 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 down. Well, say for the year, it's gone nowhere but down. All of a sudden, it goes up 2%, and that big, giant headline, markets perk up. Oh, big rally of 2%. We lost 40, but we got a big rally now at 2%. They're trying so hard to elect Bush at the USA Today. And oil prices take a dip. Yeah, yeah, from a 220 a gallon to 215 when they were at $1.60 or $1.40 8 months ago. God, they just the writer of the headline has so much power. Most people, if I don't read a newspaper, and I'm Mr. On Top of Things, think how many people just glance at a headline and think, oh, look here, market's doing better. I think I'll vote for Bush because the economy's coming back. A lot of power in the writing of those headlines. And that's crime. All right, what else we got? Headline, prosecutor, Jackson could be flight risk. State fighting Starr's request to lower his $3 million bail. Giant hand job. I don't care if you hate Michael Jackson or you love Michael Jackson. The facts are the facts, and I don't like it when they pick out a guy and say, hey, that guy is rich, he's weird, and he's been charged with a crime. I know child molestation is a serious crime, but this is not Tim McVeigh. This is not Osama. This is a, like I say, it's a serious charge, but this is not, oh my God. If Tim McVeigh wanted out on bail, we'd have to say, I don't care what the law says. We cannot let this man out on bail because he just may go crazy. He may go bomb the building, you know, the daycare down the street. I understand there are times when you might have to take the law into your own hands. I'm talking about the government has to make special dispensations, whatever. If you have to do it, if there's some law you have to bend to get Osama or to bend to get Timothy McVeigh, fine, but you don't bend the law to get a Michael Jackson. And what they're doing here, it says, this prosecution motion conceded that the county bail schedules calls for a potential maximum bail of $400,000. The maximum legal bail for this Michael Jackson charge is $400,000. It's four and change, don't write. But no, they put his bail at $3 million. And that was just to jack him around. Now listen to this. He owns a ranch, free and clear, as far as I know. He owns this ranch. It's worth, I think, $20 or $27 million. Since you can't take your land on a jet with you and leave the country, why in the hell did they charge him for any bail? When you own that much property, they just put a lien on the property. If Michael skips, they've got $27 million in their hand instead of this measly three. Mark Garrigo said this was just... the prosecutor was just being a prick by doing this, and who could possibly disagree? The whole point of bail is to ensure that you show up. And their point is, oh, we got to have the three to make sure he shows up, but he's got a paid-for ranch there. If he had, you know, bearer bonds or whatever that stuff was in Die Hard, yeah, maybe we might need to do something because he can pack it in a suitcase and leave, but you can't leave with the ranch. So they've already got their collateral. The county can put the lien on the land so where he can't sell it. So this is all a sham. I don't know if Michael Sobrocki's got to have that $3 million back. But if the law says you can only go $400,000 on a alleged molestation charge, and they charge him with $3 million, that is selective prosecution. They picked him out. He's rich, he's famous, he's weird, so they're going to screw him. That ought not to be the way things work in America. I don't like it. I'm not a big Michael Jackson fan. I don't know if he's guilty or not. But again, is Michael Jackson today a threat to his community? If a parent drops off their young boy at Michael Jackson's house today, throw the parents in jail. If we need a law, let's make a law there. If you deliver your child to a, what's Michael's situation? A suspected serial molester, I don't know what you call it. He hasn't been convicted of anything. But He's famous for having messed with little boys, so if you turn your little boy over to him unsupervised, you should do time for prostitution. Just like, I don't know if you saw that Law and Order, but this family needed money. And the Michael Jackson front man came to him and said, we'll give you $1 million cash if Michael can have your boy for the weekend. And they said, oh, okay. And then later they tried to act like, oh, did Michael do that to my son? Why, he better write me a check and make it even. No, they made the deal up front. And that's what's going on here. So Michael Jackson is not a threat to his community. He's too famous. He can't walk around. He can't lurk in a park or in a public restroom somewhere and molest little boys. You just can't do that. He's Michael Jackson. So the idea that the state's going after him, well, it's not even the state. It's this one prick, this Snednon guy. I think we smell a rat here. But in closing, crowd does the wave. You should not be able to selectively pick out a guy and say, I don't like the way the law reads as it pertains to that guy, so we're going to raise the bail 10 times almost the normal amount because he's rich, he's famous, and he's weird. If it was Osama, if it was Tim McVeigh, multiple murders, multiple mega murders, hey, maybe we can make some kind of rule, but not for Michael Jackson. That is BS. All right, here's a headline for you. And I'm sure I would think differently about it if one of my relatives was dead. But, big headline, Nichols guilty of 161 murders in Oklahoma. Jury will now consider death sentence. Now, I don't know if this is Oklahoma stupidity, if this is USA Today writer stupidity, but Nichols is in jail for the rest of his life with no possibility of parole, and you talk about a guaranteed no possibility. I pity the parole board member that wants to let this guy out of jail in Oklahoma. I mean, the Oklahoma parole board, I believe, is made up of Oklahomans. And if you vote to let this guy, this murderer, out of jail, they're just going to come burn your house down and shoot you in the head. So they're going to consider the death penalty. If you weren't considering the death penalty, why the hell did you spend all those tens of millions to put the man on trial? He's in prison for the rest of his life, no matter what. Now they're going to consider the death penalty for the guy. Oh, boy. You know, I don't guess other states are more stupid than Oklahoma, but Oklahoma just seems to make the headlines more than most. And sure, if it was my wife, my kid, my parents had died in there, sure, I'd want the son of a bitch dead. But it just seems a little pointless. He's in a cage the rest of his life. He probably enjoyed getting out, seeing the sun, riding around. You know, hell, during the trial, I don't know, I imagine during the trial they'd send out for McDonald's, and he got to eat a McDonald's, you know, a Big Mac instead of prison food. This trial's probably the best thing to happen to him since he was found guilty the last time. And I imagine he'd probably kind of like a death sentence. Tim McVeigh, apparently he was pro-death penalty. Perhaps he could have spoken and stayed alive, but geez, he was, what, 26? When you're that young, you know, who wants to spend the next 50 years being the most hated man in the federal penitentiary? Then this could just be the idiocy of the headline writer. I just hate headline writers. They are so interested in making a cute joke. They have no intention of conveying to you what's in the article. They just want to get cute. And I just want to slap a guy who pretends to be an innocent reporter who wants to be cute. Oh, that makes me sick. So, Oklahoma, thank you once again for making the national headlines. You're going to consider the death penalty for the guy who's doing life in solitary, guaranteed the rest of his life.
Bart Cop, he's better than a sharp stick in the ear.